begin by singing hymn 172. Hymn 172. Writers of literature whose fundamental and final commitment was to Christ, I think most often of the great Russian novelist and short story writer, Fyodor Dostoevsky. Of writers of international reputation, he, perhaps above all, forced his readers to face up to the significance of Christ in their own lives. Several brief key excerpts will illustrate Dostoevsky's struggle to find strength and finally hope for all mankind in Christ. In a notebook statement written on April 16, 1864, written shortly after the death of his first wife, he wrote, "To love a person as one's own self, as Christ commanded, is impossible. On earth, the law of personality binds us. The I stands in the way. Christ was able, but Christ was eternal from all ages. The ideal toward which man strives and according to the law of nature must strive. After Christ's appearance, it became clear that the highest development of personality must attain to that point where man annihilates his own I, surrenders it completely to all and everyone without division or reserve. And this is the greatest happiness. This is Christ's paradise. And so on earth, man strives toward an ideal contrary to his nature. When man has not fulfilled the law of striving toward the ideal, that is, has not by law offered his I in sacrifice to people or to another being, he experiences suffering and is called this condition sin." But Dostoevsky believed man can rise above the guilt for sin. In one of the statements of Father Zossima in the novel The Brothers Karamazov, Dostoevsky describes the significance of prayer and love. "Young man, be not forgetful of prayer. Every time you pray, if your prayer is sincere, there will be new feeling and new meaning in it, which will give you fresh courage. And you will understand that prayer is an education. Remember, too, every day and whenever you can, repeat to yourself, Lord, have mercy on all who appear before thee today. For every hour and every moment, thousands of men leave life on this earth, and their souls appear before God. And how many of them depart in solitude, unknown, sad, dejected, that no one mourns for them, or even knows whether they have lived or not? And behold, from the other end of the earth, perhaps, your prayer for their rest will rise up to God, though you knew them not, nor they you. How touching it must be to his soul standing in dread before the Lord, to feel at that instant that for him, too, there is one to pray, that there is a fellow creature left on earth to love him, too. And God will look on you both more graciously, for if you've had so much pity on him, how much more will he have pity who is infinitely more loving and merciful than you? And he will forgive him for your sake. Brothers, have no fear of men's sin. Love a man even in his sin, for that is the semblance of divine love and is the highest love on earth. Love all God's creation, the whole and every grain of sand in it. Love every leaf, every ray of God's light. Love the animals, love the plants, love everything. If you love everything, you will perceive the divine mystery in things. Once you perceive it, you will begin to comprehend it better every day. And you will come at last to love the whole world with an all-embracing love. Love the animals. God has given them the rudiments of thought and joy untroubled. Do not trouble it. Don't harass them. Don't deprive them of their happiness. Don't work against God's intent. Man, do not pride yourself on superiority to the animals. They are without sin. And you, with your greatness, defile the earth by your appearance on it, and leave the traces of your foulness after you. Alas, it is true of almost every one of us. Love children especially, for they too are sinless like the angels. They live to soften and purify our hearts, and as it were, to guide us. Woe to him who offends a child. Father Anfim taught me to love children. The kind, silent man used often on our wanderings to spend the farthings given us on sweets and cakes for the children. He could not pass by a child without emotion. That's the nature of the man. At some thoughts, one stands perplexed, especially at the sight of men's sin, and wonders whether one should use force or humble love. Always decide to use humble love. If you resolve on that once for all, you may subdue the whole world. Loving humility is marvelously strong, the strongest of all things, and there is nothing else like it. Every day and every hour, every minute, walk round yourself and watch yourself, and see that your image is a seemly one. You pass by a little child. You pass by spiteful, with ugly words, with wrathful heart. You may not have noticed the child, but he has seen you. And your image, unseemly and ignoble, may remain in his defenseless heart. You don't know it, but you may have sown an evil seed in him, and it may grow. And all because you were not careful before the child, because you did not foster in yourself a careful, actively benevolent love. Brothers, love is a teacher. But one must know how to acquire it, for it is hard to acquire. It is dearly bought. It is won slowly by long labor. For you must love not only occasionally, for a moment, but forever. Everyone can love occasionally. Even the wicked can. My brother asked the birds to forgive him. That sounds senseless, but it is right. For all is like an ocean. All is flowing and blending. A touch in one place sets up movement at the other end of the earth. It may be senseless to beg forgiveness of the birds, but birds would be happier at your side, a little happier anyway. And children and all animals, if you yourself were nobler than you are now. It's all like an ocean, I tell you. Then you would pray to the birds, too, consumed by an all-embracing love and a sort of transport, and pray that they, too, will forgive you your sin. Treasure this ecstasy, however senseless it may seem to men. My friends, pray to God for gladness. Be glad as children, as the birds of heaven, and let not the sin of men confound you in your doings. Fear not that it will wear away your work and hinder its being accomplished. Do not say, sin is mighty, wickedness is mighty, evil environment is mighty, and we are lonely and helpless. An evil environment is wearing us away and hindering our good work from being done. Fly from that dejection, children. There is only one means of salvation. Then take yourself and make yourself responsible for all men's sins. That is the truth, you know, friends. For as soon as you sincerely make yourself responsible for everything and for all men, you will see at once that it is really so, and that you are to blame for everyone and for all things. But throwing your own indolence and impotence on others, you will end by sharing the pride of Satan and murmuring against God. After the writing of his novels, which encouraged a Christ-like compassion for man, he received the greatest acclaim any Russian writer had ever received. I shall close with a deathbed statement he made to his son and daughter after he had asked that the parable of the prodigal son be read to them. Children, never forget what you have just heard here. Preserve an unbounded faith in the Lord, and never despair of his forgiveness. I love you very much, but my love is nothing in comparison with the Lord's infinite love for all men whom he has created. If ever it should happen that in the course of your life you commit an offense, still you must not lose hope in the Lord. You are his children. Humble yourselves before him as your father. Beg him for forgiveness, and he will rejoice at your repentance as he rejoiced at the return of the prodigal son. Let us pray. In this place of beauty and extended love, where prayer and birds and animals and children surround us, unite our hearts in love for God and man. Help us to humble ourselves in concern for others, especially those in our society who have suffered most from the injustice of our actions. Give us the insight and the knowledge to serve in your kingdom, now on this earth and forever. Amen. We'll close by singing hymn 342, the second tune.
is a recent geological survey with many of the geologists in America down in the Grand Canyon area.